This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Significant guest in about 10 minutes on the latest with Monticello, the nuclear plant, and Xcel and their decision today. So that's coming up. Dave, remind the folks again, if they're just joining us here for hour number two, Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan with you on CCO Radio, why we are playing the bumper music we are playing today.
The theme is songs about something that could give you detention in school, because according to the film, according to John Hughes in The Breakfast Club, the day that those five hooligans showed up for Saturday detention was Saturday, March 24th, this very date in 1984.
Very nice. Okay, so then we discussed that a little bit with Major Garrett, and I decided to look up, according to IMDb, the highest rated John Hughes movies. And let's go back and forth a little bit on these movies. A movie called Reach the Rock. This would be the last one he wrote and was the executive producer. And until I looked at this list, Dave Harrigan, I'm not sure I've ever heard of Reach the Rock.
Never,
are you familiar with this?
No, never heard of it at all until this very moment. He did not direct that one, writer and producer.
No. Mm-mm. Next on the list, Pretty in Pink. Where do you stand? This is like, there's just a long list of recognizable, popular Hughes movies. I would say, like this one, didn't love it. Who's my guy, Andrew? Is it McCarthy? Kind of found him annoying, I got to be honest. So I'm just okay with this one on the Hughes list because we're judging on a higher bar.
Yeah, it's not up near the top of the bar. It's fine.
No, it's fine. Uncle Buck. That's just one guy. John Candy. What do you think of this one?
I mean, it's John Candy. That puts it in contention. It's not at the top of the list, but
no,
Uncle Buck is a solid show.
It's fine. Okay, again, on the Hughes list, it's Candy as Candy, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's on, am I staying? I'm not really staying. Are you staying?
It depends where it's at. I'm not staying for
yeah.
the whole thing, but if it's on and you know, I know a certain scene is coming up. Yeah, sure, I'll give it a few minutes. Absolutely.
This one, I am staying, even though there's some lines in there now. No, they would work. 16 Candles. I'm a big fan. Dave Harrigan, big fan of 16 Candles?
I think that's probably the best you've named so far. I don't think I put it that far ahead of Uncle Buck, but a step up, sure.
Yeah. I've got it noticeably ahead. Okay. Let's get to these two because they're back-to-back, and there's obviously one person, if you listen to me other years, who is just a miserable human being by all accounts. It's Chevy Chase, miserable human being. National Lampoon's Vacation, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Of course, these movies have some great moments. I just find him repulsive. I don't find him funny, so I can't take him away from this movie because he's a central part of the movie.
I think Vacation is a good comedy. Christmas Vacation, that hit me at the right time, seeing it first when I was 10, 12 years old. I've seen it a million times. That's a delightful movie. And Chevy is very good in Christmas Vacation and Vacation.
Stop.
He is, because who he is in real life plays to that character so well.
No. By all accounts, who he is in real life is a horrible, buffoonish, belligerent, lousy person. He's got one note. He just falls down and acts like a goofball. That's it. That's the only thing he does. This is a great movie. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. This is high on the list for me of John Hughes movies. I'm guessing Dave Aragon loves this movie.
You guess correctly. Yes. I mean, when Steve Martin pulls up, walks up to the desk with the lady, and he's going through the whole yes. cuss-filled rant. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah. Next on the list, Home Alone. It's no longer my sweet spot, got to be honest. Home Alone is a fabulous movie.
It's tremendous, and Home Alone 2 is not that much
pretty
of a
good.
Departure. I mean, it's the same movie. It's pretty much the mm-hmm. exact same thing, but it's also very good. They're both very good.
It's not like we needed to see Culkin doing Shakespeare, like in Home Alone 2, right? You know?
No.
They got a formula.
That's right. We want to see...
He's cute and adorable.
Pesci.
You got parents who probably should be thrown in jail because mm-hmm. they're not paying a lot of attention. So run it back.
Of course, the big guest star in Home Alone 2, you remember. Your 45th president.
The 45th president of the United States. Tremendous acting, I think he would say.
Phenomenal.
Numbers 2 and 1 on this list, and this is an atrocity to all folks, IMDb. Number 2 on the list is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is the best high school movie on planet Earth. It is the best John Hughes movie. The three core characters are great. There are so many side characters. Now, is it possible for Broderick and the gang to pull all this off in such a short period of time in Chicago? Of course not. Of course. But you know what it's called? It's called It's a Movie, Dave. It's not a doc. I love it. I can stumble into any part of Ferris and watch it and be pleased.
I love the folks that went and figured out exactly which day he got off based on the footage from the ball game he attends at Wrigley.
Yes.
I mean, Abe Perlman, the Sausage King of Chicago, he'll tell you that's the best. At least I like what Major said. Ferris is absolutely the most entertaining John Hughes movie. Is it the best? You know, would the Academy say it's the best?
Who
Maybe they'd say
the
Breakfast
Academy
Club,
sometimes.
But I'd rather watch Ferris 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah. And Breakfast Club is the highest rated. Obviously, this one is more meaningful. It's these individuals who at times you would think should detest each other. They do detest each other. They all have their issues. But for this Saturday, they come together. What are our terms that we use now for sports teams? We collaborate. We create the right culture. They all come together. They're smitten with each other. It's a fine movie. You're right. It's a very different movie than Ferris, so it's hard to compare. But again, if I got to watch one of them, it's a no-brainer for me. I'm watching Ferris. So it's just a reminder the guy was absolutely spectacular. Our concern level for what's going on with XL and the Monticello plant. A great guest is just minutes away on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You have been hearing about this story all day long. We're going to chime in here also. Chad Hartman here with you on News Talk 830 WCCO. Xcel Energy temporarily shutting down its Monticello nuclear power plant after discovering that a new quantity of radioactive water from a leak had reached groundwater. The company, in a news release Thursday night, reported that a small amount of new leakage, expected to be in the hundreds of gallons range, I repeat, hundreds of gallons range, that is very different from the original leak, which was reported last week at 400,000 gallons. So, on this overall story, we are pleased to bring in Victoria Mittling. She is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. She is Senior Public Affairs Officer at the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Victoria, thank you very much for your time. Can you tell me if your agency has reacted in any manner to the latest news which came out from Xcel Energy last night?
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. The agency has been responding to the leak since November when it was first reported. We have two senior resident inspectors that are stationed at each facility, including Monticello. So our inspectors have been closely monitoring the plant's actions to understand the leak, try and contain it and to remediate it. That said, the leak itself does not pose a threat to members of the community, to the drinking water, or to the environment. The leak, which was temporarily repaired by the plant, was a temporary solution, did not quite hold, and so there was, as you had mentioned, some additional leakage. That does not change the overall assessment by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that the community is safe, the plant is safe, the drinking water is safe, and that the environment is safe.
How long did it take your agency to determine when notified that the drinking water was safe, and what are you doing on a regular basis to affirm or potentially alter that position?
So when nuclear plants initially apply for a license to operate to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, they're built in such a way that any kind of liquid release from a nuclear plant does not have a pathway to reach drinking water wells or the drinking water supply of the community living by the plant. We know that that has been true and effective because plants are required to monitor water, ground, vegetation, milk, livestock for presence of radioactive material. And those tests are done and reported to the NRC every year. The results are independently verified. So we know there have not been releases that could have a negative impact on the environment and on the community.
But you're talking about those yearly, and I understand that. But because of the 400,000 gallons that were released and contaminated, how different is the testing since that information was alerted to you and your agency the 22nd of November last year?
That that release, that contaminated water, has no pathway to reach drinking water wells. It is physically impossible.
So why do the test then yearly if it's not possible, the way the plan is set up? Why even do the yearly tests?
Well, the tests are done to verify, to make sure that the environment is not impacted. In addition, while the on-site leaks of this nature do not have a pathway to impact public health, the plant is still required to track these leaks so they can understand them and stop them, because it's not, we don't want to have leaking pipes, leaking equipment, and that's why the plants have to address the leaks, even though they do not have an impact on people or the environment.
Victoria Mittling is with us, Senior Public Affairs Officer, U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, talking about the announcement last night about another leak with Xcel Energy and their Monticello plant. Obviously reacted to the news which came out about the 400,000 gallons of water contaminated. So let me go back here to the public finding out about this much, much later. The Xcel alerted your agency and state authorities November 22nd. Of last year. The public found out months later. Why wasn't the public notified sooner?
The notification of the leak was made, as you had said, on November 22nd and posted to the NRC's public website. The leak did not exceed any NRC limit. It did not violate any requirements. As such, it did not pose danger to the public. If we had encountered a situation that was an emergency, if there were a situation where we felt that the community, the public, the plant were in danger, there would be immediate notifications. In this case, that was not what happened. And there was no additional notification to the public because the public was not in danger from this leak.
But Victoria, in some good reporting by many outlets, including the Star Tribune, that when we're talking specifically about the 400,000 gallons of water contaminated with radioactive material, this was the sixth largest leak of its kind. You're telling me and telling the residents who live in the area there was no need to tell them about this until 4 months later.
So what I'm telling you is that this leak had no possible impact on members of the community. The NRC did not make additional notifications 4 months later, the agency was not involved in those notifications. And I want to make it clear, when and if there are situations where the public can be impacted in a negative fashion, the public would be immediately notified. That is not the case.
When should we expect another update from your agency, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, or a final report on what happened, potentially punishment handed out, or corrective measures offered up so this does not happen again?
As I keep saying, the plant did not violate NRC requirements. It did not exceed federal regulations. If there are cases, when there are cases when NRC requirements are violated, if NRC limits are exceeded, the agency's response is entirely different. So here, we're looking at safety, the safety of the plant, the safety of the public. We take that very seriously. And our inspectors follow up on multiple issues that have to do with plant equipment, that have to do with plant procedures on a daily basis. This leak was one of the things that the plant had to address, but it did not pose a threat to the public, just like other issues that the plant is following up on. The NRC inspectors are following up on every day.
Last thing here, and I'll let you go, and I really appreciate your time answering these direct questions. You've said multiple times that you have people there who, you know,
yes.
you have people who normally show, but clearly people showed because of this. Will we, the public, see anything, any comprehensive report about what they offered up, or will this just be normal interagency communication between your group and XL, and the public will not see that?
There will be. So there are reports, quarterly reports from our inspectors, and the fact that we evaluated the leak will be reflected in one of the upcoming future reports. I cannot say which one or exactly when. As you know, the situation is still unfolding and is not totally remediated.
Victoria, thank you very much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Victoria Mittling, Senior Public Affairs Officer at the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. You want to chime in? People are chiming in right now. You certainly can. Cities One Talk and text line 651-461-9226.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Food critic extraordinaire for the Star Tribune, Joy Summers, is with us. Joy is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Joy, always a pleasure. It has been too long. Thank you so much for coming on. I know you and your colleagues, I enjoy this, every Friday online, the five best things we ate this week. I want you to talk about the fried chicken you had, the fried chicken sandwich you had, and tell me that, any signs of fried chicken sandwich mania slowing down? Because I see no signs myself at this point.
Yeah, I thought we might be
reaching a peak, and then this bad boy showed up, and I was like, oh no, we have a new entry into the field. This thing, it's a battered thigh, so you've got that juicy, juicy meat, but this is at the Char Bar in the back of the new Butcher in the Boar that just opened in the North Loop. And this sandwich is, it brings the whiskey, smoky sweetness in that they're like so whiskey and smoke forward in this place, but you get that shatter crisp chicken sandwich exterior on the squishy bun. It's a dish that I mistakenly ordered with a crew of friends and thought we were going to share, and that did not happen. I did not share that sandwich.
But I don't think other places are going to, you know, maybe they won't reach this level, but I don't, I mean, did this start like 5-6 years ago? And now it seems like everybody is trying to jump in on a great fried chicken sandwich.
Yeah, I feel like maybe the Popeyes fried chicken sandwich caught the like national zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. But before that, locally, we had Revival fried chicken. And I really feel Revival, before they started doing what they were doing, we really didn't have much for great fried chicken around here. And that has changed exponentially in the years since they opened.
You also reviewed shrimp and grits. I got to be honest, Joy, whenever I have grits, I'm left like, eh, doesn't
right?
do much for me. Where do you philosophically stand on grits? And then how much did this shrimp combination help it out?
So I did not understand grits until I went down to South Carolina to visit some extended family down there. I thought they're so heavy and gluey and covered in cheddar cheese and it's like walking around with a brick in your stomach all day. Why would you mm-hmm. do that yep. to yourself? And then I went down to the South and I realized, oh, we just don't have the culture for proper grits, which you do not add a ton of cheese to them. You put a little bit of cheddar cheese in at the end. And that's what they're doing at this brand new place called Big Biscuit Bar that just opened on Mears Park. It's in what used to be the original Handsome Hog location. And they're kind of bringing a diner soul into this place. It's very, very new. They're just like starting to get their feet underneath them. But this shrimp and grits is creamy and luscious and hearty without being heavy. It's a substantive breakfast. But it's not going to just, I didn't need to go take a nap after I ate it. And then they top it with a proper shrimp in like a tomato gravy. It's a stewed, spicy sauce that's just like enough zing to it to wake up your mouth in the morning. And every time I thought I'd eaten all the shrimp that were in there, I'd find another one hiding in that like lush gravy blanket that was encoding the whole thing. I didn't eat it all in one sitting, but I saved half the heat up with an egg on top this morning. And it was just sweet breakfast comfort that I don't think a lot of places up here really have that like understanding of how to do it properly in their bones. I'm an amazing cook, and I have tried to make grits at home, something that seems so easy. It's just cornmeal water, but I don't have the touch. I don't have the sense memory. I don't have a mima or a mama who's going to take me by the hand and say, here's the proper way to make grits. So I'm just going to be going to Big Breakfast or this biscuit bar and ordering that for breakfast.
I'd say that's a pretty good plan. Let's do this. Let's squeeze in a quick break. Joy Summers is with us. You can read her excellent work on food and the restaurant, in all aspects of the restaurant industry in the state, in the Star Tribune. You can also follow her at Joy Estelle. Joy, you know how to spell that. Estelle. Back with Joy Summers in moments here on CCO. Right back with Joy Summers talking about restaurants here in town. You want to chime in? You have a particular question for Joy? We'll have time to squeeze maybe one or two in. Text away 651-461-9226. You wrote recently about Eat Street and the latest food hall. Talk about that, and then tell me, Joy, if you could only go to one food hall in town, just one of them, which one would you go to and why?
Oh, well, right now it's Eat Street Crossing. It nailed the entire food hall experience for me right out of the gate. I've been there like 3 times already. I'd go back right now. Like if you want to go after the show, I will meet you there. It's so yummy. And I think what's one of the reasons it's working so well immediately is it's got 2 couples behind it who are restaurant veterans. The owners behind Bebe Zito that have that great ice cream and burger shop in Uptown and then over in Malcolm Yards. And then John and Lena from Zenbox Izakaya, who originally started out as a Skyway Japanese place and then have had this Izakaya bar restaurant for years. The 4 of them got together and created all of the concepts inside this food hall. And we have incredible sushi dori, which has these sushi sandwiches. Like you take everything that's in a sushi roll, but then just open it up and eat it sandwich form with the nori wrapped around the rice and all the stuff inside. Oh, so good. And then there's Uro Pizzeria, which is Brazilian style pizza. There's a Bebe Zito that has boozy ice cream. There's a whole bar that has $25 wine bottles. There's ramen shoten is creamy poultry ramen broth. So I was able to go with a friend of mine who's Muslim, and she was just thrilled that it's a ramen place that she can eat everything in there and enjoy it. It is, there's so much. Oh, there's little fried chicken fingers talking about fried chicken sandwiches. It's packed with good stuff, and it's such a beautiful room. It almost feels like an art installation with incredible murals painted on the walls, these soaring brick wall with open windows in it, like a giant chandelier. It's a lot, and everything, at least on every trip I've had, has worked flawlessly. It doesn't feel new. It feels like something that has been established and is just ready to like invite all of Minneapolis, all the Twin Cities, anybody you're bringing in from out of town. It's quite impressive.
We have this conversation 2 years from today. Do you think we'll have multiple more food halls in this town? Or are we at about where we should be at this point?
That is an interesting perspective, because I am not sure that there is a ton of space for growth in Minneapolis and St. Paul for these. But each one kind of has its own perspective. It's serving in different ways. Like Malcolm Yards is a great place to go before a Gophers game. It's great to go for a college student or you're visiting your college student. But what I would love to see, where I think we have tons of room for growth for these, is in the suburbs. Once we get outside of the inner ring where real estate might be a little bit more reasonable and we've got all mm-hmm. that access with zippy freeways, and so many people have moved outside of the city too. And I don't know if all of those diners are being served by the single standalone concepts. Like we've already seen a lot more creativity coming into the independently owned restaurants in the suburbs. I think that would be cool. I think in a couple of years, I could definitely see more food halls out in the outer rings. Look at Asia Mall in Eden Prairie has
right.
been
yep.
slammed since they opened their doors. There's a lot of room.
About 90 seconds left. Okay, over the next 2-3 months, tell me a restaurant which is expected to open and you're greatly excited about that possibility.
Oh, my colleague Sharon Jackson and I were just talking about this, and we were compiling a whole list. Like, we are about to get into spring restaurant opening season, and it's going to be good. I feel like through the pandemic, we have waited for creativity to burst forth, and we are about to get that. The one I'm looking at right now is Guy Noy, the new restaurant from Ann Ahmed, who has Lat 14, who's just sadly saying goodbye to Lemongrass and has Kaluna in Minneapolis. She has proven that she makes delicious food, and that restaurant space is ready for her stunning architectural eye on it in that patio that overlooks Loring Park. I cannot wait to get back to that.
I love Lat 14, so that absolutely excites me. Joy, I always enjoy our conversations. Thanks so much, and have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Follow Joy at Joy Estelle on Twitter, and then check out her consistently excellent work in the Star Tribune, Joy Summers. Linda's Construction Time Check. It's time to have Linda's come out for a free heat map analysis. Next hour. Hour later, because of her schedule, she's the feature queen of the world. Shaletta, Feisty Friday. That's right away. And then Am I Wrong? Dave Harrigan, how about we let Rusty join us as his swan song for Am I Wrong? Thoughts?
Ooh, that would be big for Rusty. I don't know if he can handle it, but we'll ask.
We'll find out next hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.